Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Welcome to Let's Face the Issues, where today's issues are faced from a biblical perspective. I'm your guest host, Greg Youngblood, sitting in for the black-robed patriot, my dad, Dr. Jean Youngblood. Feel free to join us with your comments by calling 904-831-0917. Been considering what we're going to discuss here today as a guest host. Been given, you know, free rein. We can discuss anything. And you flip through the papers and you kind of see what are the headlines today? What should we talk about? I see that America's pride in the U.S. hits low. That's a new Gallup poll. You know, it was no surprise to me to find that 22% of Democrats think that they're proud of America. Only 22%. You know, I understand that the other side of the spectrum are pretty proud to be Americans today, but we're not going to discuss that. You know, I see you flip through here. You've got former Chrysler executive Lee Iacocca passed away. That's a loss. He was quite the businessman. Gold hits a six-year high. Yeah, I think it's moving another $14 or $16 an ounce today. Something's going on there. That's pretty exciting stuff, exciting news if you're a market watcher, but and I could discuss that for a long time, but I think we'll not discuss that. China trade talks going on. We've got Hong Kong protest. Those will continue today. They've got the entire nation in an uproar right now. Goodness. I guess you may have heard about Mike Pence's plane being turned around yesterday. Emergency. Got to get back to D.C. I understand that a Russian sub was initially thought sabotage, taking something. You know, 14 folks died in a fire on a Russian nuclear sub yesterday. I'm not sure we've heard the last of that. We'll hear more, but we'll not discuss that right now. You know, there's border chaos. We just had AOC. Everybody knows AOC, right? AOC joined, you know, went down to the border to check things out the other day and put on a real show. What an embarrassment. My goodness. You know, she's only surpassed in embarrassment by Bill de Blasio there. Yeah, however, some may say she's more embarrassing than he is. Should we discuss Kaepernick? Colin Kaepernick, the Betsy Ross flag, and the Nike deal. And my goodness, nah, I'm not going to. He's just an American hater. We're not even going to talk about him today. You know what? Let's talk about Independence Day. Let's talk about freedom. You know, as we look at July 4th, 1776, let's consider for a moment what compelled that revolution and what that means to us today. I think we've got a caller on hold. Let's go ahead and take that caller. What do you have to say? What are your comments today on Independence Day?
Well, I called before you mentioned Independence Day. I was going to ask you about the Word of God, the Bible. Are you a pastor or a preacher?
No, I serve in different capacities. However, I am not a preacher. Who am I speaking with?
My name is Bob. Are you a KJV only person?
That's very interesting. I carry a King James Version. What's your perspective on the King James Version?
Well, I have a problem with pastors that hold up a Bible and say this is the inerrant, perfect Word of God when they don't believe that.
Oh, goodness. Just to cut you short, I believe it is the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God. So I don't think we have much of a problem. I do also believe that a lot of folks get hung up on the King James Version. you know, grab yourself a 1611, start reading through it. Most people can't read, and the S's and F's all confused up. Most people don't read the apocryphal books, at least not with your Protestant denominations. It's kind of a almost a sidebar issue. We could have an entire broadcast on that, and we may very well in the future. If you got one more quick point, then I'll let you go.
No, I'm not accusing you. I'm just saying that I think we're a dying breed, and, you know, it's hopeless.
Well, just continue to study God's Word, share God's Word, and love those. It says in the James text that they'll know that we are believers by our love. So share that. Share the truth of the Word of God and keep going. Appreciate you, Bob. Thanks for calling in today. Next caller.
Derwin Davis, how you doing?
Oh, my goodness. It is the world-famous, world-renowned Derwin Davis. What do you have for us today?
Well, I'd kind of like to expand on your previous caller, you know, and also the fact that the numbers are down on people who believe this country is the greatest country there ever was.
Poor
we can
folks.
Trace every bit of that back to the socialist education system we have. Here's my point, Greg. I do not believe anymore in free public education on any
level.
Hold on.
I got to stop. I'm not cutting you off. Hang on, Derwin. Don't leave me. It's not free. You know, goodness, I think of the movie, you know, The Princess Bride, and you've got the character there that keeps using the word inconceivable. And at a certain point, another character says, you keep using that word. I don't think that word means what you think that word means. They keep saying free. It's a very expensive education. I think the last time I looked at the budget, it's been years ago, the last time I looked at the budget in Duval County Public Schools, let's call them what they are, Duval County Government-Controlled Schools, the budget was over $1.8 billion. That was the education budget and the capital improvement budget. By the way, they're asking for a lot more money today. The numbers were somewhere around $13,000 or $14,000 per child per year in public schools, public education. Government-controlled
well,
education.
That's it, Greg.
Just the case. It's not free.
You're making my point.
Very
You're
expensive.
Making my point in
yes.
that not one penny of that should be derived from the public if the people participating in it are abusing it.
They are. We can step back in time, and a friend of the family, John Stormer, he authored several books. One of them was None Dare Call It Revolution, and I think that book sold like 40 million copies. It was an international bestseller. But he also wrote a book called None Dare Call It Education. As you walk through the pages of that book, it takes you from the very beginnings of the National Education Association. It takes you from the days in the early 1900s with John Dewey, you know, the avowed socialist or communist, that took over and ran the National Education Association for a decade or more, I believe. And all these social goals were put in place for education in America. You fast forward 100 years plus, and you know what? Those goals are still being pursued, school by school,
okay.
System by system.
Greg, I've got I can top that. I've got a better advantage. There's two continents on this planet that I have not been to. One is Australia. The other one is Antarctica. All right? And I've seen, and being an armchair socio-anthropologist from my little college days, I got to see and examine, you know, different systems from the darkest Africa to high-density populations like Hong Kong.
I've got a question
and I
for
see
you.
That,
Derwin, and everything you've seen, do you still come home and realize this is the greatest nation on God's green earth?
I do.
Yes, sir.
I do, because
yes, sir.
The rest of our population has only heard one side of the story from our socio-communists that control our education system.
I know, it's truly sad, and we have small systems here and there across the United States. I spend a lot of time in East Tennessee. We have some wonderful schools, even those government-controlled schools, because we still have a lot of folks there that have a passion for the Lord Jesus Christ, for his word, and they believe in being moral and decent and right, and also training up a child in the way he should go. They believe in reading, writing, and arithmetic. They believe in the things that you and I, that we believe in, and they don't try to cram the socialist agenda down the throat. However, they make up the minority. In America, the colleges were polled years ago, and 87% of public college professors identified as liberal or Democrat or right on down the left end of the spectrum. When you get to your Ivy Leagues, the numbers Ivy Leagues jumped to like 93% plus of college professors identified as such.
Absolutely, but I've been to these less than advantaged places, yet I notice the people there, I mean, right on to the poorest, the lowest level, if they know and believe in education, they see that their children get an education somehow. My point is home schooling, private schools, just cut the tax burden off.
Yes, sir.
Release it into the general economy, that money, and forget about education. Let these professors go out and get a real job or starve on the vine.
It makes perfect sense to me to give folks a rebate. If the government's going to keep stealing this money, keep seizing this money as they are, and running this farce of an education system that much of it happens to be, it would seem only right and fair and decent to give individuals a rebate that choose to go to private school, parochial school, homeschool. Give them a rebate of those dollars so that they can the dollars can follow the child. The charter schools are an interesting idea, and vouchers are interesting, but I don't like all the strings, because government all of a sudden thinks it's their money and they should have strings and they should be able to dictate.
In other words, as of the 1st of July, I believe there was legislation passed in this state. I don't know which state you're in right now, but in this state, Florida, I believe on the 1st of July, there was legislation that went into effect that actually freed up money, as you say. However, every time they do that, to qualify and to get it processed, you have to go through the communist deep state, the bureaucrats.
Isn't it amazing? When they seize these assets, they seize these dollars from the American taxpayer, somehow or another, the bureaucrats start believing it's their money to dole out the way they want to, that somehow or another, instead of government working for us, we're supposed to be working for this government. It's a broken and perverse system.
That's how the whole argument with term limits got misconstrued. It should not apply where the First Amendment is in effect. What it should apply to is bureaucrats. You cannot serve in any government capacity more than 10 years. You get no perks, no retirement, nothing.
It would be true public service, and that's been an age-old concept that has certainly either died or been put to death by the bureaucrats and your leftist politicians. But Derwin Davis, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you so much.
That was a world-renowned Derwin Davis. Thank you for calling in. Again, this is Greg Youngblood. I'm your guest host sitting in today for the Black-Robed Patriot, my dad, Dr. Gene Youngblood. If you'd like to join us, feel free to call 904-831-0917. You know, when I woke up this morning, and I won't tell you where I was, but there was a sweet smell of freedom. This is a wonderful country. There was a sweet smell of freedom in the air. Now, there was a little bit of a stench of bureaucracy, but it was mostly freedom. Understand that is not the case around the world today. Today you go to Hong Kong, and Hong Kong today is going to be roiled by protest. Ever since 97, I guess, when they did their unified yet partitioned government kind of thing, mainland communist China has let Hong Kong continue to be operating kind of with a level of autonomy. But lately, things like this extradition legislation threatened to change all that. You know, folks in Hong Kong know, with the Google modeled artificial intelligence and the Chinese human scoring system and such, their freedoms can disappear in a flash. You know, that extradition bill that was pending and then pulled and then put back in place, that would allow a mainland communist Chinese official to step into Hong Kong and snatch somebody up. You know, if you speak against the Chinese communist system, all of a sudden you're an enemy of the state. You know, they actually made a movie by that title, Enemy of the State. It's pretty good because it kind of tells a story much like we deal with this deep state in America. It tells a story of what other countries deal with the Gestapo tactics and mindset. But aren't you glad to be an American today, where we can wake up and breathe free air? You know, we can still meet, we can still worship without fear or apprehension of government agents coming in. That may not be long for this world. But in Venezuela, folks are starving in the streets. 20 years ago, Hugo Chavez was elected to office. You know, he promised the free stuff instead of the freedom. You know, he sounded a lot like Bernie Sanders, from what I understand. You know, the Bernster. Today, they all want to, you know, make this deal and give you some free stuff. They want to exchange the freedom that we enjoy today for free stuff. History will tell you that never ends well. You know, when Hugo Chavez came in office, he nationalized the oil industry. You know what that means, right? He went in and seized the assets of these different oil companies. And as he seized those private assets and government took over, bureaucrats began running the whole show. The whole industry of oil was run by bureaucrats. I guess still is what's left of it. You know, some say the number of employees doubled and the rate of production was cut in half. You know, that sounds like government here. You know, the government schools, the Amtrak, the post office, the water management districts, thousands of other agencies across America. I look at agencies just like the water management district. They spend a couple $1 billion in the state of Florida, and you can't identify what those people do right. My goodness. But you look at Venezuela, the richest woman in Venezuela was said to be Hugo Chavez's daughter. You know, the bureaucrats, those embeds, they get paid real, real, real well sometimes. Sometimes they steal all sorts of things, graft and corruption. I understand that the current fella in there, Nicolas Maduro, he may have flown airplane loads of gold out of the country. You know, essentially what's left of Venezuelan treasure, he's seizing, he's taking potentially. He's ripping the country off. The number one cause of infant mortality, the reason children are dying in Venezuela today, is malnutrition. You know, that current president of Venezuela, you know, the bus driver president, Nicolas Maduro, you know, he started as a bus driver, moved right into being a union boss, and then right into politics. He's continued to bleed the country. You know, that transition of power where he moved from bus driver to strong arm union guy to a politician. It sounds a little bit like the ascension to power that AOC up in the Bronx had. You know, she went from bartender to she said she was going to be inaugurated and she was going to be signing bills and this and that. You know, she talks like man, she's going to be the boss. Matter of fact, she said that I'm the boss. That's what such an embarrassment. I literally feel sorry for those folks in New York. Regardless, she has an economics degree, couldn't run a bar, but says she can run the entire economic system in the United States. It's a shame, but we can still enjoy freedom, independence in America today. If you've just tuned in, this is your guest host, Greg Youngblood. I'm sitting in for the Black Robe Patriot, Dr. Gene Youngblood. Join us today at 904-831-0917. If we step back in time, said I was going to talk about Independence Day, we're going to talk about it. 243 years ago, King George represented a tyranny that could no longer be tolerated. You know, our founding fathers tried. This nation's founding fathers tried. They negotiated. They implored. They begged. They pleaded. Let me try to do this from memory now. I've got a pocket constitution on the other side of the desk here. I'm not even going to pick that up. But you know, in that constitution, well, in my pocket constitution, there's also the Declaration of Independence. And as you read through the Declaration of Independence at a certain point, now they relied upon the sovereignty of God. They relied upon divine providence. However, when they started to point out the flaws in King George, that tyrannical British crown, when they started pointing out his flaws, they listed 33 specific things. Some say 31, I say 33. Look through it and you tell me which one of us is right. 33 specific things that King George had done wrong. I say it's a 33-count indictment against King George. And listen, read through those. A lot of those things we're experiencing today in America. You know, one of them, and I'm going to do this from memory, so if I get it wrong, you're welcome to call in and set me straight. But one of them was, he has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out our substance. Yeah, you know, think about it. In America today, every agency wants another tax, another regulatory burden. They typically say, we just want you to fill out one more form. It's only $25. It's only $50. You know, they want to sell you back your rights. You got a right to keep and bear arms, right? But they sell that right back to you, and they make you fill out a million forms for it. You know, if you want to get together and have a public meeting to talk about what's wrong in America, what's right in America, what's wonderful about America, you want to have a public meeting, you got to go get a permit for that. I mean, you got to ask permission from the state and make sure that's okay. But at the end of this indictment, his 33-count indictment against King George, and I'm going to do this again from memory. They said, in every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. You know what? Our founding fathers, again, they begged, they pleaded, they tried everything they could before blood was shed. In the end, blood had to be shed. And guess what? What drove the bloodshed? The British, under the orders of King George, they came for the guns of those colonists. The colonists realized this is our last line of defense. I mean, King George figured he was dealing with a lot of hayseed hicks, a lot of pitchfork-toting peasants, but they still had guns. And quite frankly, I believe every tyrant, every dictator, every despot, they try to remove two things from a culture. They try to remove your reliance upon God. They try to remove the Bible. And they also try to remove anything that you have that you can defend yourself with. So back to the tyranny of the crown. And today, as I've already stated, you know, then there was the tyranny of the crown. Today, I think we have a different kind of tyranny, one of bureaucracy, you know, where judges and politicians and representatives and senators and, you know, some presidents, tons of bureaucrats, they all ignore their oath of office. They pursue this ham-handed political, social, ideological, anti-American, and often anti-Christian agenda. You know, think about it. You know, in the state of Florida, folks, you know this. Your oath of office requires now the oath takers to raise their right hand. You know, used to we place a hand, left hand on the Bible. Now you got folks placing their left hand on who knows what. But the pledge was, I do swear or affirm to support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States and of the state of Florida, so help me God. You know, about 20 years ago, they added the words "and government." I'm not lying. You check me out. I challenged the Secretary of State in the state of Florida because I said, this is wrong. You can't add the words "and government," because the duty-bound and attempting to cling to both would rend himself. You know, if you cling to government and cling to the Constitution simultaneously. So the new oath reads something like this. I do swear or affirm to support, protect, and defend the Constitution and government of the United States and of the state of Florida. So help me God. What a perverse, twisted oath of office. In any case, you know, often Dr. Youngblood shares with you the daily chaos that you find out in the news. You know, Christians are often trampled by a God-hating world, often with the consent of some judge or bureaucrat. You know, we give them discretion, and what do? Many times they use it to they pervert it in order to actually go after their political enemies. You know, some of these new SOGI laws, S-O-G-I, the sexual orientation and gender identity laws, which grant special class status to people based on their self-professed sexual proclivities. You know, many more Christians are going to be victimized with these SOGI laws in place. You're think about it. When we go to the Bill of Rights, the very first thing mentioned is the religion. You know, Congress shall make no law with respect to an establishment of religion, nor prohibit the free exercise thereof. So an individual's free exercise of religion can be trampled by these bureaucrats under the perverse, twisted view with so many of these SOGI laws. But understand this. Jesus warned his disciples in John 15:18, if the world hate you, know that it hated me before it hated you. You know, this is nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun, and history has a tendency to repeat itself. You know, as we look back to 1776, as the British crown was challenged, it meant nearly certain death for those American patriots, for our founding fathers. You know, the crown thought the colonists were a bunch of pitchfork-toting peasants. It turned out not to be the case, but he figured they're up against the most powerful nation in the world. It was truly a David and Goliath situation. This nation, in my opinion, could not have risen without the sovereign hand of God being at work. You know, I believe it was, you know, Franklin that said, you know, folks, we need to all hang together lest we all be hanged separately. You understand that those folks, they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And I'll tell you, it cost them, most of them, their lives. It cost most of them their fortunes. And thank God they maintained their sacred honor. But the King George was expecting one thing. What he wasn't expecting was throughout the colonies, pastors, ministers, you know, they stood in the pulpits and preached against the tyranny of the crown. Those ministers were given the moniker the Black Robe Regiment. You know, that's why I just mentioned I'm sitting in for Dr. Gene Youngblood, the Black Robe Patriot. You know, we ought to be thankful for pastors that were willing to take the stand so many years ago and to help buy the freedom that this nation today enjoys. You know, John Muhlenberg stood in that pulpit and he called out the tyranny of the crown. He called out biblically what Ecclesiastes has to say, and a time for this and a time for that. He says it's a time for war. He stepped down out of the pulpit. The next day he made the call. Who will join me? Who will join me? 300 in his community joined him as pastor, as a black-robed patriot. You know, I believe that John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg, I like that name, John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg, I believe he'd be proud of Dr. Gene Youngblood. I know I am. Those great patriots, they did pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Much blood was shed to buy the freedom we enjoy today. Jesus shed his rich, red, royal blood on a cross for you and me 2,000 years ago to set us free from the shackles of sin. The shedding of blood is necessary to buy liberty, to buy freedom. Now, in the end, you need to know this. If you hear nothing else from me today, you need to know this. Jesus Christ is the only source of true freedom. Thank God for the freedom we enjoy in America. And as my friend Wild Bill for America says, America, bless God again. I hope you'll join us again tomorrow as we face the issues. I'm thankful for the opportunity. This has been Greg Youngblood sitting in for Dr. Gene Youngblood, the Black Robe Patriot. Join us again tomorrow at this same time. Thank you so much.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.